had Mazda.
Amen. The Lord is good, and He's more than good. He's great. Amen. The Lord is a great God. He's worthy of praise. Praise to Him. Credit to Him. All glory. God said, not unto us. The psalmist said, not unto us, O Lord, but unto Thy name give glory. Let's give Him glory today. Brother Evan's going to come preach for us this morning. You'd be praying for him. Go ahead and have your Bibles open and ready to turn where he asks you to turn.
All right. Good morning, church. Good to see you in the Lord's house this morning. And I know it's been said many times, but happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and all the mothers-to-be. And I'm thankful for my mom this morning. I texted her, and I told her happy Mother's Day, and I loved her. And I said, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here today. Some of y'all didn't get that, but you'll get it after a while. You wouldn't be here without your mother today either. Anyways, but I'm thankful for my mother, and I'm thankful for my wife and the great mother she is to our son. And I pray each one of you have a great day today. Amen. Let's take our Bible this morning, the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 24, the very last chapter in the book of Joshua. And thank you for being faithful to the house of God this morning. And when I was asked to preach this morning for Mother's Day, I told Courtney, I said, this is your chance. I said, I'm preaching on Mother's Day, so this is your chance to write me out a good message to preach, right? So if I strike out this morning, y'all be sure to blame it on Miss Courtney, okay? But I was wrestling with what to preach this morning, and I really wanted to preach a holiday centered and themed message this morning, and keep it focused toward the mothers. But I struggled with that, and I couldn't get direction from God on going that way. And I was praying, and this passage of scripture was put on my heart. And I was talking to a preacher friend of mine this past week, telling him I was kind of struggling with the Mother's Day message. And he said, Brother Evan, he said, if God puts a message on your heart, he said, you better preach it. You better preach it. And very familiar passage of scripture this morning. We all are very familiar with this. One of us that we've all heard taught and preached on. Some of you could probably quote some of this chapter. Some of you may have portions of this chapter even hung up in your home in some places. That's how well known this passage of scripture is. Very familiar. And we're coming to the end, the final words of Joshua. Joshua's life is about to end. Joshua has been a man of war, if you know anything about Joshua. In fact, the book of Joshua, it's all about warfare when you begin to look at it. It's a good picture, and it's a good type of the Christian life, because once you get saved, the battle begins in your life. Amen? And now every step that you and I take, we're in enemy territory. We have to be on guard at all times. And we're going to see that Joshua, he was a conqueror in Canaan land. And I'm glad to say that we can live a victorious Christian life through the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. But Joshua, he's coming down to his time to die. He's getting ready to pass off the scene. He's saying his final things to his people. And we already know this, but usually a man's final words that he has to say, they're usually pretty important words. And so I believe it would be wise for us to take note about what Joshua has to say. So let's begin reading here in verse number 14, and we'll read down a few verses here in the text. Look there what it says, verse number 14. He said, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Now let me stop right there and say this. You're going to serve somebody. You're going to worship something. He said, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, that would be the gods of the Chaldeans, or the god of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, look what he says. He said, we will serve the Lord. I'd like to read the rest of it, but I won't. But in verse number 25, Joshua, he goes and he makes a covenant. And he makes a statue there in Shechem. He takes a great stone in verse number 26, and he places it under an oak tree for a memorial to that day. for these people, they had to make a decision. He said they couldn't be neutral any longer, but they had to make that decision. They cannot verbally make the decision. He said, but by verbally not making this decision, he said they were making their decision, if that makes sense. And Joshua, he's saying, we played this thing long enough, guys. He said, we've straddled the fence long enough. And he's telling them, guys, I'm fixing to pass off the scene. He said, I'm getting ready to die. And he said, if you're going to continue on, and if you're going to serve the Lord, he said, you are going to have to decide to. And I like what he says, because he doesn't make a decision before he announces his. He said, I've already made up my mind, guys. Though none go with me, and the rest of you decide to go another way, he said, I've already settled this thing in my heart. He said, I'm going with God. For a little while this morning, I want to preach on this thought of, I choose the Lord. I choose the Lord. Mothers, they make a lot of decisions for their families. They make a lot of choices for their children. But can I say this morning, Mama, the greatest decision that you could ever make in your life for you and for your family is to choose the Lord. I said earlier that I couldn't get settled on a Mother's Day holiday theme message. But can I tell you this morning, Mama, Daddy, brother, sister, aunt or uncle, grandma or grandpa, the greatest decision that you could ever make in your life is to choose Jesus. But not just for mothers, not just for mothers. Don't think just because it's Mother's Day that you can't do it either. But dad, young person, the greatest gift that you could ever give your mother on this Mother's Day is to choose Christ. It's a good day to make a good decision. Amen. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, I love you. Thank you for the privilege to stand and preach your word this morning. Father, I pray as we open your word that you would, Lord, guide our hearts. And Father, I pray that you would open us to your word, that you may challenge us from your word. Father, I pray that we would choose today to serve you in this dark day that we're living in. What a great day it would be for someone to give their life to Christ. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. There's an old hymn that I love that we sing at times. It's in the hymn book. The title of that song is Farther On. How many of y'all know that song? What a great song that is. But that song, it states in the chorus, it says, Farther on, still go farther. It says, count the milestones one by one. It says, Jesus will forsake you never, and it is better farther on. But you listen to that song, and it's a testimony of God's faithfulness throughout the journey of one's life. And it makes mention of a word that we don't use every day, and it's that word milestone or milestones. A milestone is a marker. It's a marker that points to a significant decision that's been made. It's a spot that is signified when an event took place that really mattered. It memorializes a moment where a significant choice was made in that person's life. A year could be a milestone. The seasons of life, they can be milestones. Different days in our life can be milestones. Different events, choices that you and I make can be a milestone. But when it comes down to the time when you and I, we come to the point where we're going to take our last breath, and we look over and spend our life and we see that milestone after milestone was placed along our life, every single one of those milestones are going to mark a decision. And every one of those decisions that we made will determine the pathway of our life from the time that we made that decision to whatever happened down the road. Here's what a milestone is. A milestone is not a road sign that tells us where to turn. But a milestone is a signpost to tell others that we decided to turn. You and I are where we are today because of the choices that we've made in our lives, church. You and I are in church this morning. I couldn't think of a better place for us to be this morning. Thank God for His house. But you are here this morning because you made a choice to be here this morning. And you and I, we're going to be where we end up one day because of the choices that you and I have yet to make. And the choices that you and I are making this life that I've made, there's some that I wish that I could take back, Brother Bobby. There's some that I wish that I could take back and do over again. And I would dare say that most of us here this morning could say the same thing at one point or another. There's some choices I wish I could take back. There's some choices that bring me sorrow and pain when I begin to think about them. But there's some choices when I think about them, Brother Brad, you know they bring me victory. They bring me great joy in my life because of the choice that I made in my life at that time. But here's the bottom line. Every choice that you and I make in this life is very important. A German philosopher in the 1700s said it like this. He said, choose well. Your choice is brief and yet endless. That's a deep thought. A choice to choose is to decide. To choose is to determine. To choose is to want. It is to desire something. And when we make a choice, we acknowledge what our preferences is. When we make a choice, we are advertising our priorities. And when we make a choice, we are showing the world our allegiance and we are showing them where our principles are at. Choices are so important. They're important. But on the same note, let me say this. Indecision is disastrous. The Bible said in the book of James that a double-minded man is what? He's unstable in all of his ways. So when a person refuses to make a choice, that person is imbalanced. They're trying to straddle the fence of decision. Every aspect of their life is shaky and it's unstable, and they will have no stability in their life. And can I say this morning that it's not always easy to choose, is it? It's not always easy to choose. But listen to me this morning. It is imperative that we do make a decision. When there is a decision placed before you and before me, when there is a line drawn in the sand in our lives, let me say that we cannot afford to be neutral. We cannot afford to say that I'm not going to decide. We must make a decision. And from that moment forward, the rest of your life and the pathway of your life will be steered by the direction and directed by that milestone that marks the decision that you made in the crossroads of your life. Life is choosing. That's what it is. Life is a culmination of thousands and thousands of choices that will be made from the day that we were born until the day that we die. And when you and I, we breathe our last breath here on this earth and our body is placed in the ground, what is going to be said about us is going to be dictated by the choices that we make in our life. And can I say that your character lies on your choices this morning? Your legacy lies on your choices. Your memory is colored by your choices. Life is built upon choices. But can I say, it's not always easy to make a choice, but you have to make one. And we make choices every single day of our life. Some days, we have to make choices, it seems like, almost every single hour of our life. Most of the choices that we make really don't have an effect on the big picture of our life, but some do, and they have a very big impact on our life. Some choices you can make easily. I thank God for those. I enjoy those. But some choices are difficult to make because when you make that choice, it can change the trajectory of your life. You know, I think about Lot. He must have made many choices, but you know, he made one choice that changed his life forever. I think about Samson. No doubt he had to make many choices in his life, but he made one, and it changed his life forever. Choices are so important. I think about David. You know, as a king, he probably made many, many choices, but he made one, didn't he, that changed his life. Choices are a conscious decision. It's a definite decision. It's a directing decision. And this morning, what I'm doing is this. I'm coming to you on behalf of making a decision this morning. That's what I want to do. And I'm not going to ask you to make that decision quickly. I'm not going to ask you to make it flippantly. I'm not going to ask you to make this choice just to be making it. But here's what I've come to do this morning. I want to draw a proverbial line in the sand in my life this morning and in your life as well. And this morning, with God's help, I want to present a choice to you. It's a choice that you have to make. And if you say, well, I'm not going to make the choice, then you've already made that choice in your heart this morning. You can't be neutral when it comes to this choice. You can't be double-minded when it comes to this choice. Why? Because the fence is too broad to straddle when it comes to making this choice. Can I say, it might not feel like it, and you might not think it, but you will plant a milestone along the pathway of your life. And one day you may look back at this moment on this day in your life and see how it changed the remainder of your life. This milestone will be left on the life of every young person. This milestone will be left on the life of every mother, every father, every set of grandparents. And can I say, there is no time for hesitation. Why? The time of indecision is gone. Our time is drawing short here on this earth. Today in your heart, you must make a decision. I'm going to ask you some questions this morning that I want you to answer. Not verbally, but I want you to answer them in your heart. Let me ask you a question. What kind of home do you want this morning? Well, let me ask you this. What kind of life do you want? Let me ask you a question, young people. What kind of future do you want? What kind of future do you want? What kind of testimony do you want to have? Can I say it's all determined about how we make this choice? Can I ask you, what kind of church do you want this morning? What kind of church do you want? Do you want joy? Do you want peace in your life? Do you want comfort? Do you want power? Do you want vision? Do you want to be blessed? Do you want to have wisdom? Can I say that all of that is decided about how you make this choice. If life is a culmination of all these choices, then this is the most momentous choice that you will ever make in your life. How do you want your children to grow up? How do you want your children to grow up? Grandparents, how do you want your grandchildren to remember you? How do you want your heart to feel? How do you want your conscience to think? How do you want to spend the rest of your days here on this earth? All of that is settled about how you make this choice. This choice is not made simply because you came to church today, folks. It's not. This choice is not advertised by the clothes that you put on to come to church today. This choice is not made because of the title or the tenure or the position that you have in the work of God. But this choice will be one choice that you will have to make in your heart, and not just with part of your heart, but with all of your heart. Can I say that we have to choose? We can't be neutral. There's not room for one foot over here and the other foot over here, because it's a call of complete surrender to that decision. What will your milestone signify? What will they mark in your life? Man itself has been created with a desire to worship. Saved people and lost people both, they want to worship. All of mankind has been created with a heart to worship. You're going to worship something. There is something in the makeup of us all that drives us to be devoted, to serve, or to worship something. What I mean by that is this, and I'll apply it in a moment, and it'll make more sense, but we're going to attach our affection to something. We will attach our devotion to something. We will yoke our faithfulness to something. And listen to me, you cannot choose to serve, right? Why? Because you're going to serve something no matter what, right? But what I'm glad of is the fact that we can choose who we're going to serve. Even as a Christian, even as a born-again child of God, you have to choose who you are going to serve. It is a choice that you have to definitively make, and you have to constantly reaffirm that decision. And here's what I'm coming to you on behalf of this morning. I'm coming to you on behalf of your family this morning. I'm coming to you on behalf of your future, your church, the nation that we're living in. And can I say, I believe that it would be a good day for all of us to draw a line in the sand and ask every single one of us here today to make a clear choice. There are two very contrasted paths that we can take moving forward. And today the milestone is going to be placed in your life. And just like Joshua did so many years ago, I'm going to ask you today, every single one of us, who are we going to serve? And my prayer is that when we leave this place today, is that your testimony will be this, that I chose the Lord. Joshua 24, the very last chapter in Joshua's life. The nation is in a time of transition. God's people are at this point where they have to make a decision in their life. Joshua, he's been with Moses faithfully. And I thought about this, how strange it must have been for Joshua to be the old man, because he was always the young man. He got to serve under Moses, his mentor, and Joshua is standing where Moses once stood. Moses had been more of a shepherd, if you remember back about what we preached about on last Sunday night. Joshua is more of a commander. He's more of a conqueror. Joshua was strong. He was courageous. And you could see God's hand all over his life when you begin to study. And I think if Joshua, if he had a life verse, Brother Bobby, it'd probably be praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. I mean, he just wanted to fight all the time, all the time. And can I say that's part of the Christian life? It's a daily battle, church. It was Joshua who brought down the walls of Jericho through the power of God. It was Joshua who brought down Ai. It was Joshua who possessed the promised land. And now Joshua, he's about to cross the finish line in his race. He's not going to conquer any more land down here, but he's going to inherit a greater land here shortly. He's 110 years old, and I can see this old weathered warrior as he begins to gather his people around him. And he stands there no longer with a sword or his voice sounding out orders, but he wants to talk to his people. Why? Because he's worried about them. He's burdened about them. He sees the danger that could be lying ahead for them. He'd seen God do amazing things. He had experienced great victories, but he wanted it for those people going forward. So he will begin to quote the 33 verses that are in this chapter. And it's words of remembrance. It's words of testimony. It's words of concern. And Joshua, he draws these people to Shechem. Now, Shechem is a very significant place in the Old Testament Israel, because it's a place of altars, it's a place of promise, it's a place of their past and a place of their future. And as they stand in that country of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and so many others, Joshua begins to speak to the nation of Israel. And before he breathes his final breath, he wants to charge the congregation to serve God. But not just to serve God, but he said, I pray when I'm gone. He said, when I pass off the scene, he said, I pray when I'm gone that you will serve God in sincerity and that you would serve him in truth. He said, you've been blessed by God. He said, he's been good in your life. He said, but I want you to make a decision. He said, I want you to plant a milestone here today. He said, I want you to set up a memorial. He said, I want you to mark this day that you, with your whole heart and with your whole conscience and your whole being, said, I'm going all in for God. Israel was not totally wrapped up in idolatry openly just yet. But the man of God knew that they had idols in their heart, that they had been worshiping in the shadows, and he was concerned about their future. And the man of God, he said, we've got to get this thing nailed down before I die and go to glory. So in verse number 14, he addresses them, those famous verses. And I can picture in my mind as that old man stands there and he begins to speak to his people. And he says, now, after I've told you about the goodness of God, after I told you about how great he's been, now therefore, he said, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. He said, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood in Egypt. He said, serve ye the Lord. But he said, wait a minute. He said, if it seem evil unto you, if it seems unreasonable, if it seems like it's going to be vogue, if it seems like it's going to be hard on your family, then you've got to choose who you're going to serve. He said, you're not just going to go through this life and not worship something. He said, you're going to bow at somebody's altar. He said, you can serve the gods before the flood, the God of Egypt, the God of Canaan land if you want to. He said, but you have to make that choice who you're going to serve. He said, I'm going to draw a line in the sand. He said, you can't live in the fork of the road anymore. He said, you can't live on the fence. You can't have a divided devotion. He said, right now in Shechem where we are, he said, we're going to put a milestone in your life. And I can hear him say that, he said, guys, I don't have much time left here. He said, I'm getting ready to pass off the scene. He said, I can't find any more battles. I can't find any more enemies. I won't be around to make sure that you follow the Lord. He said, you must choose. You must choose. What does the book of James say? The book of James says a double-minded man is what? He's unstable in all of his ways, right? And I like how Joshua, Brother Brad, he amens his own preaching. Because the more I preach, the more I realize I have to do that sometimes, Brother Bobby. And the preachers, they all say amen, right? But I can see as Joshua's standing around, he's gathering his people, saying, come here, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. He says, guys, listen to me. I'm about to go to heaven. I'm getting ready to die. Moses has left. He said, I'm about to go where Moses is. He said, we're living in this place where there's a bunch of little g gods, all kind of perversity and all kind of corruption. And I can hear Joshua say, you can follow them if you want to, but God's been good to us. God's been good to us. Joshua said, he's the God that's brought us out. He's the God that's brought us through trials and troubles. He's the God that's brought us in it. He's the God that Abraham, that was there when Abraham was not even looking for it. He said he's the one who parted the Red Sea. He goes on and he tells him that he's the one who drove them out with hornets. He said he's the one that brought down manna from heaven and fed them. He's the God that's done all these great things for us. But I can see him as he says, fellas, listen to me. If you want to go after that, if you want to go after those things, he said, if you want to go after those little g gods, if you want to serve them, he said, then go ahead. He said, go after them. He said, but you can't be neutral anymore. You can't be neutral. He said, I don't want you coming to church on Sunday and shouting amen for Jesus and then go out there and serve the devil anymore. He said, I don't want you coming in here on Sunday with your suit and your dress on and serving God and saying amen that God is good and then living for the devil and the world Monday through Saturday. He said, you can't do that anymore. He said, these days, he said, they're not for that. He said, there's corruption coming. He said, there's compromise coming. He said, there's going to be the book of Judges that's on the way. He said, boys, he said, you're going to have to shore this thing up. He said, I wish you would serve the Lord. But wait a minute, he said, before you go and answer and make your decision, he said, let me tell you something. He said, I've already made up my mind. He said, I've already made my decision. He said, I don't know what you're going to do. He said, I don't know. He said, but this is what I've decided to do. What did he say? He said, as for me and my house, he said, we're going to go with God. We're going to go with God. He said, I look back on my life and everything that's happened. He said, God's been too good to me to turn my back on him now. He said, I'm not going to choose the little g gods from before. He said, no. He said, I'm not going to choose the gods from behind. He said, I'm going to choose the God from above. Amen. He said, I'm going to choose the one who's led us safe thus far through the journey. And by God's grace, he said, he'll lead us home. He said, I don't care if it's a multitude or just me. He said, I'm going to take my house with me. He said, I don't know how many days I've got left here on this earth. He said, but those days are for him. He said, I don't know how many breaths that I have left here on this earth. But he said, every breath, that's for God. He said, I don't know how many steps that I have left. He said, but every step is for him. He said, here's my decision, guys. Here's what I've made up my mind to do. He said, I choose the Lord.
He said, I'm going to draw a line in the sand. But wait a minute before you take a step. He said, I'm going to take a step. I'll show you my decision. He said, now it's me and God on this side. He said, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And I can see him tell those guys. He said, I know you've got your mind made up. He said, you can serve those little G gods if you want to. He said, but not me, fellas. He said, I can't do that. He said, I've decided to follow Jesus. He said, there's no turning back now, guys. There's no turning back. Joshua said, I don't know about the rest of this crowd. He said, I don't know about the rest of you. He said, but I made up my mind. He said, you can serve who you want to, but I made my decision. He said, you can run back to what you've been delivered from if you want to. He said, you can go back to those little G gods that you've worshipped before if you want to. But if you go and you read this chapter, he said, I found that God is God. He said, so I believe I'm just going to stay with him. God's been good. He said, so I'm just going to stay with him. God's given grace. Joshua said, when I started this thing, he said, I was a slave in bondage. He said, now I'm leading the nation. You think I'm going to sell out to that God? He said, he's been too good to me. He's guided me. He's guarded me. He said, if it seem evil unto you, he said, then go serve money. He said, go serve your hobbies and all these different things. He said, go serve popularity. Go serve your own schedule. He said, if it seem evil unto you, he said, go serve whatever it may be. But he said, I believe I'll just go with God. Can I say today that today I want to draw a line in the sand in our lives? You say, Brother Evan, I'm not going to make a decision. Well, you've made your decision. You've made that decision. Can I say I believe it's a good day for every Christian to decide I'm going to follow the Lord no matter what comes. That I'm all in for God. There's no more straddling the fence. There's no more riding the fence. There's no more on this side and on this side. That I'm going to get all in for the Lord. Every single day of our lives, we make a choice. Every single day, we make choices. I think about Abraham. Abraham made a choice. Enoch, he made a choice. I think about Noah, the great choices that he made. Every single day, every day, we make a choice. And there's a line drawn. Let me ask you again, what kind of home do you want this morning? What kind of home do you want? What kind of leader in your home, Daddy, do you want to be? What kind of influence, Mama, do you want to be on those children? Church members, what kind of a church do you want this morning? What kind of a nation do we want to live in? Can I say, do we want joy? Do we want peace? Do we want fulfillment? Grandma, Grandpa, how do you want your grandchildren to remember you? How do you want your heart to feel? How do you want your conscience to think? How do you want to live your life? This is what I'm asking. I'm asking for those on the perimeter to come to the center. And I'm asking for those who are in the shallow end to come to the deep end. I'm asking for those who are living in the barracks, so to speak, to step out on the battlefield of faith and choose to serve the Lord. Well, think about it with me. I'm closing. Hang with me, okay? Eleanor Roosevelt made a statement, and I don't get into quoting people like this very often, but listen to what she said. She said this, one's best philosophy is not best expressed in words. It is expressed in the choices that one makes. In the long run, we shape our lives and we shape ourselves, and the process never ends until we die. And the choices we make are ultimately our responsibility. Here's what happens in this chapter. Israel, they all come to the altar. They all come to Shechem. They all come to the altar. All of them do. Why? Because they saw someone else go to the altar. And with their lips, they said, we're going to serve the Lord. And guess what? Church, you know what happened? They lied. Why? Because the book of Judges follows the book of Joshua, does it not? And in the book of Judges, we know that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So today, I'm not asking you to come to an altar just because someone else may come to an altar. But in sincerity and in truth, choose to serve the Lord. Say that I've made up my mind. I think I'll just go with God this morning. That I choose the Lord today. Mothers, the greatest choice that you can make for your family is to give your life to Christ and to serve Him. What a great day to do that. What a great day to do that. Every year on Mother's Day, from now on, you can look back on this day as a milestone in your life where you said, I'm all in for God. I'm giving my life to Christ. Have you given your life to Christ this morning? Have you done that? Hey, Dad, the greatest choice that you can make for your family is to give your heart and give your life to Christ. And determine in your heart that no matter how hard it gets, no matter how hard it gets, that I'm going to lead my family by the Word of God and show them that this is the best life that there is to live. Young people, you're going to have to decide. Mom and Dad can't decide for you. You're going to have to decide. I couldn't think of a better Mother's Day gift for mothers than for a young person to purpose in their heart on Mother's Day that they're going to give their life to God and strive to serve Him. What a great Mother's Day gift that would be. Church, you're going to have to make a decision to choose the Lord. You're going to have to make that decision. Are you going to choose the Lord today? Let's stand together this morning. If the pianist would come, if they'd come and sing a verse of invitation this morning, we could bow our head just for a few moments. I pray you make a decision this morning. I pray you do. It's probably hard to realize now the effect that it will have on your family, the effect it will have on your children, the effect it will have on your future and on your spirit, how you decide. But it will make a difference. Maybe you're here today and say, Brother Evan, I see the line drawn in my life. I see it. I see that line. And with my heart, the best way that I know how, I'm going to choose to step across and say, you know what? As for me, no matter if anybody follows me or not, I'm going to serve the Lord. I hope you can say that this morning. Hope you can say that. Can I say just give your all to Him? You can trust Him. Give your all to Him. He's worthy. He's worthy. Mama, it's a good day to choose Christ. It's a good day to choose Christ. Dad, children, you can look back on this calendar one day on down the road and say, on May the 11th, 2025, I purposed in my heart that I was going to give my life to Christ. Wouldn't that be wonderful? It'd be a wonderful day to do that. Choices and decisions. Choices and decisions. This is the most important decision, no matter your age this morning, that you will ever make in your life. Will you choose the Lord today? Father, I love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you how it's challenged our hearts. Father, I pray, Lord, if there's one not saved this morning, Father, that they would give their life to you. And Father, I pray for those who were saved this morning. Father, I pray that they would determine in their hearts that from day to this day forward, that they would serve you with everything that they have. I pray that. We love you and we thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. As they sing a verse of invitation, maybe you need to come this morning and pray. No turning back, no turning back. Sing it out with them this morning. Thank you. sing that last verse.
The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back.
I hope you've chosen to serve the Lord this morning. I really do. Amen. Happy Mother's Day to you. I pray the Lord blesses you with a great day. Amen. Brother Revis.
I appreciate you. Appreciate the good message. Amen.
Amen.
Appreciate that. I saw one preacher on Facebook yesterday. He said, they've got a new pope. They've had an earthquake, and it's Mother's Day. I wonder what kind of preaching is going to happen all across the land on Sunday. But I'm glad we've had some good preaching this morning, and we pray that you have chosen to serve the Lord, just as Joshua charged us to do. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. So we appreciate you being here again. Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. Remember Sister Faye Ladd in your prayers. The Lord would help her. Sister Faye's had her very high blood pressure all week. She's been dealing with nosebleeds, and she's been in and out of the hospital twice. She came home yesterday. So she's weak. Oh, she was hoping to be here this morning. So please remember her in your prayers. For just a moment before you dismiss, and we want you to have a wonderful Mother's Day, but I want to update y'all on where we're at as far as me and the pastor of this church. Pretty much everybody knows Sunday before last I announced my resignation from the church. And I originally intended and told the church I'd like to stay for a few weeks, at least through the month of May, to just try and help the church. I want y'all to know, in case you're wondering, the only reason I had for doing that was to let the church get settled in, try and be helpful to get a next step forward for the church to move forward after we're gone, after our family makes our transition. I let the deacons know this week and let the church know Wednesday night. We've been praying, further considering that. And at this point, I really don't see any need for us to stay any longer than we have. Praise God for capable, faithful people in this church and men of this church that can mediate these services. You don't need me to do that any longer. And wonderful preachers. We have preachers in this church, preachers in the surrounding area that can come in, and they're well able to fill this pulpit. So I don't see any need for me to stay through the month of May like I originally planned. So I think it's going to be best, me and my family, we're going to go ahead and move forward and let the church move forward as well. So with that being said, this is going to be our last Sunday with you all. And we want to say, I don't want to repeat everything I said 2 weeks ago, but I will repeat that I love each and every one of you. And we pray the best for each and every one of you. Pray the Lord would bless you, keep you, make his face to shine upon you. And these years at this church have been invaluable to us. We cherish it. But this is our last Sunday as the pastor of this church. You never know, you may see us again here, but it won't be as pastor of the church. We are doing as we feel the Lord has led us to do. So I want to read this to you, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. It was just on my heart, and I want to read it to you. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now I want to encourage, as Paul said in Ephesians, the faithful in Christ Jesus that are here to abound and to be steadfast in what you're doing for the Lord. And God is not going to forget our labor of love for him. We love you. May God bless you. Happy Mother's Day to all our mothers that are here. Brother Bobby Clark, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer?